As the World Cup winds up, we're revving up for the return of FPL. Who's caught our eye in Qatar, injuries that could interfere, and key targets for those unlimited transfers. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. It's been a while, hasn't it? But as we gear up for the World Cup final, it's also time to start sorting out our FPL teams for the return of the Premier League, which is not long away now. I'm Kelly Summers, still out in Doha, and half of the regular FPL pod crew is alongside me in person, unfortunately, out here. The one man that you wouldn't want to see when England have just been knocked out in the World Cup by France, Julien Laurent.
Hello, Kelly. Hi, everyone. Thank you. And welcome to the home of the World Cup finalist.
I thought you were going to go early then and say World Cup champions. You nearly did. And holding the fort back in the UK for us, a big hello to FPL family's Sam Bonfield. Sam, it's lovely to be back talking FPL with you, but I think this could be a long 40 minutes or so.
I've got the feeling that this could be a bit hard work today with you two together. Thanks for having me back. It's a bit different here, Kel, to what it is out there in Qatar. It's very, very cold.
Yeah, not looking forward to coming back to that at all, that's for sure. Enough of that from Jules. Let's welcome our final guest. We're very much going global today. Someone else who I'm sure massively enjoyed the World Cup for his country. Andy Park, aka FPL Sinaldo, joins us. Andy, thank you so much for being with us on the podcast. How have the last few weeks been for you?
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for that lovely introduction. It's good to see you, Jules, as well as Sam. The World Cup for Korea has been amazing. We've really enjoyed it. I'm sure Jules is very excited about France being in the final. But for us, it was a fantastic World Cup for sure.
Okay, never mind the World Cup chat, Andy. The big question, how's your FPL season gone so far?
Surprisingly, FPL season has gone really well, and I'm sort of getting back into the flow. World Cup is still not over, so you know it's hard to kind of focus on the upcoming game week 17, but I feel ready to get back into the FPL sort of juices and flow once it begins.
Yeah, of course. The good news is, isn't it, in case anyone's forgotten, the unlimited transfer window is still open up until the deadline on Boxing Day. And Sam, FPL also launched the Second Chance League, which is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're having not the best season, you know, if you're struggling like Jules and I have been in this early part of the season.
And me.
Throw you under the bus with me as well there, Jules. It's really nice, isn't it? Because this does feel like a second chance, doesn't it? It feels like almost the season is starting again in some way. So, of course, you'll still have your traditional overall rank for the whole season. But now you're going to have the Second Chance League as well. Everyone's going to start from zero. We're going to go from game week 17 through game week 38. There's going to be prizes as there is in the main league as well. So, yeah, an opportunity to get going again in game week 17 and really run till the end of the season. And, of course, if you do well in the Second Chance League, you're going to be improving your standings in the overall league too. So double bonus there.
Yeah, there's a really good FPL Basics series on fantasy.premierleague.com as well, if you know anyone that wants to join in and maybe doesn't know exactly how to do that at this stage. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about FPL. Sam, I'm intrigued because your FPL family, how have you coped the last month without FPL, and how have you kind of balanced watching the World Cup and also having a bit of a break from FPL, but also planning for the return?
So we've kind of been quite different in our house because I haven't been able to stop looking at my FPL team through the whole World Cup. Like I've been literally there taking screenshots of various different teams over the course of that. Like I find myself watching a World Cup game going, oh, I wonder if I could get like whoever it is in my team and trying to budget for that. Whereas Lee did take a bit of time out at the beginning of the World Cup, and over the last week or so, he's really ratcheted up. I mean, it's Christmas, right? We should have absolute rolls of photos on our phones of the kids meeting Santa and doing all these fun things. No, our camera rolls are literally just full of FPL teams. So I think it's been nice to have the break. It's been a good opportunity to kind of take stock and look at the players that have worked really well for us and the ones that we therefore want to keep, but also the players that we maybe can move on, or the new players that we're now kind of looking at as like the shiny new toys that we all want in our FPL teams.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching France actually, Jules, and I was thinking the other day, wouldn't Griezmann be nice to have in FPL? Think of those assists.
Or Kylian, you know, like thinking, oh yeah, I would have Kylian in my team.
Yeah, there's a few out here that aren't bad, isn't there? Let's talk a little bit then about where we are with the World Cup. We've got four teams still out here. Of course, we've got the final on Sunday, Argentina versus France, in case you didn't know.
Woohoo!
And you can do that every time I say France.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we can't talk about the World Cup anymore. And also Croatia versus Morocco in the playoff game on Saturday. Jules, there's going to be a fair few Premier League players involved.
There's been obviously a few Premier League players who've done really well in this World Cup so far. If you look at Julian Alvarez, for example, with Argentina, if you were thinking maybe if you have a spot somewhere for a striker and at his price, it could be very interesting. You still don't know how much he's going to play for City, of course, and the Pep roulette, but he will certainly come back to England full of confidence. Whether they win on Sunday or not, it's not going to change the perception of his World Cup that has been great. If you look at Alexis McAllister as well from Brighton, similar, not playing as a striker for Brighton in the sense that he won't bring you as many points, but still a very interesting player. We saw a very good Richarlison for Brazil, obviously up to the Croatia game. Bruno Fernandes has done well. Bukayo Saka has done well as well with England. Estupinan with Ecuador too, going back to Brighton. So there's been a few players from your own Premier League team or your own fantasy team that have done well. Others have struggled a little bit more. And let's not forget as well that a lot of the other players have rested completely. The likes of Mo Salah, Erling Haaland, Darwin Nunes, for example, who played here, but not much because Uruguay were out early. So there's a few players to keep in mind like that, who either didn't come here and have been rested or came here, did well or not so well.
Yeah, game week 17 is 8 days after the World Cup final. So there is a bit of a break there, Andy. How do you feel about players that are potentially involved still in this World Cup and their involvement in the return of the Premier League?
Yeah, as we know, there's only a couple players left in the World Cup, and I think not so relevant in terms of our FPL team. So I wouldn't be too worried about, you know, them coming back late. However, for example, if, you know, France does win the World Cup, then you might have celebrations going on. So one to watch. But there is about 8 or 9 days between the final versus the return of FPL. So I think plenty of time for players to get rest. A lot of the key players that we want in our FPL teams are already back in training and looking sharp. And we'll get to it later. But there's a lot of players also that are kind of out long term, such as Jesus from Arsenal. So lots to watch out for and lots to keep tabs on.
Yeah, we'll talk about injuries very shortly because unfortunately there are a few that will affect not only Premier League teams, but our FPL teams as well. But Sam, what about the teams that went out in the quarterfinals? Jules mentioned a few of the players, the likes of players playing for Brazil, Bukayo Saka with England and stuff. But England, Portugal, Brazil, the Netherlands, their players have been given a few days off, dependent on if they're in League Cup action. They are due back in training, so they should be okay for the return of the Premier League, would you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think the quarterfinal stage for me was the one that was kind of like, if you're out by the quarterfinals, you're probably okay for game week 17. And if you come from a team like Man City, then maybe there's a little bit more rotation there. But, you know, if you're Harry Kane, for example, and you're coming back into a team that's potentially looking like it might be missing Richarlison, then you're likely to be fit and available, particularly as Spurs aren't playing in the League Cup ahead of game week 17. So I think if you've got players that were with England, that were with Portugal, Brazil, the Netherlands, you're probably okay, particularly for game week 18. You know, maybe game week 17, we might see some reduced minutes for some of those players, but I think you'd be okay.
What about Harry Kane? Because obviously we know what happened to him in that France game in the end. Do you think that's actually...
What happened? I can't remember what happened in that game. I just remember the winner and the loser.
You can't laugh at your boy Harry Kane.
No, H is my boy. I wonder if there's a sense of almost to get over the World Cup. But I mean, it doesn't have to be just Harry Kane and the penalty miss. It could be anyone who either had a disappointed World Cup or he didn't end the way he would have liked. I think the sooner you get back into your club life in a way and the club groove, the routine of training, getting ready for matches, playing matches, even the League Cup rounds just before the Premier League comes back, this would be good like for everything to come get over the World Cup. So whether it's for Kane or somebody else, you could imagine that they would be quite eager to go back and play in the Premier League and would want to do well straight away. And obviously the Christmas period for us in England is very special. I think everybody's really looking forward to it, especially after the World Cup as well, when we didn't have the Premier League for so long. So you can imagine that even the ones who left Qatar a bit disappointed then would be ready to go for the Premier League and just to get over it completely.
I think there's a bit of a comfort blanket, isn't there, Jules, about going back to your club who know you, love you, will look after you when you've had that like slight disappointment of going out of a competition in the way that everybody up until, you know, France and Argentina will have had so far, even the Moroccans and the Croatians playing in the third, fourth player. There is that level of disappointment. But when you get back to your club, you see your teammates, the players that know you, trust you, you kind of, you're going to have that support network around you. And I think for me, you know, these players, they are, take Harry Kane, he is the epitome of a professional football player. And I think he will be absolutely fine. He's on track for his 200th Premier League goal as well. So we're expecting that over the next couple of weeks or so. I mean, I'm hoping that happens by the time we get through game week 17, to be honest, because that'll be some lovely FPL points for me. But he's not a player that I'll be taking out of my FPL team. He's somebody that even after what happened at the World Cup, I still have absolute trust in.
On the topic of Harry Kane and England, Jules mentioned Bukayo Saka having a good World Cup. There is players that kind of continued their club form in the World Cup and you'd like to think they bring it back as well. But I was following England and I remember when Kieran Trippier started the opening game, obviously played really well, then didn't play because Kyle Walker came back in. I did think from an FPL point of view, I thought, well, this is quite good. He's getting a bit of a rest, isn't he? And also Callum Wilson, when he missed a couple of days training with a strain, I thought, oh gosh, we're not going to have him in FPL because I've got him in my team. But I think there's a lot of players like that. I think we were all watching the World Cup. I'm guessing you were the same, Andy, watching your assets and thinking, kind of want you to get some minutes to keep ticking over. But what we don't want is injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we just want to avoid major injuries with our FPL players. But with that being said, I sort of detached FPL with the World Cup in many ways. And as we approach FPL again, I don't think there's any major injuries that we have to be too concerned about. I know you mentioned Trippier. He's going to be in a lot of our teams and a very, very popular pick. Same with the Newcastle asset. So very interested to see what's going on. Also, as you mentioned, right backs, Reece James is back in full training with the team. So I'm very interested in having him. Chelsea do have a double coming up in game week 19. So Reece James becomes a very good option if he does start both those games.
Yeah, let's talk about injury statuses of some players then, because we said we needed to. There's obviously been some big headline ones from this World Cup, including Gabriel Jesus, owned by over 50% of managers. But he is the most sold player in FPL. Obviously, Jules, a really bad injury for him, terrible news for him and the way Arsenal play. But his form maybe had started to drop off a little bit before the break.
Yeah, you're right, Kelly. That knee injury, he had surgery already and they're hoping to have him back maybe 2 to 3 months. It's a bit hard to tell how quickly the rehab will be. But yeah, we saw even before the World Cup, not just the goal drawing we mentioned there. He's so important for that team outside of goals. But for us, I don't care if he recovers the ball 25 times in a game. That doesn't bring me points. So I think a lot of people already had been thinking about other options, nothing against Gabriel Jesus, but maybe other options who have been scoring maybe more consistently, at least before the World Cup. So now with the injury, you can keep him on your bench if you want, but for 3 months, it's a bit pointless.
Jules, do you think that Gabriel Jesus' injury will have a negative effect on the likes of Saka or Martinelli, the players that you kind of would choose? Because I think a lot of FPL managers are looking at Nketiah and thinking, well, that's quite a nice cheap way to replace Jesus as my third striker option. It frees up a bit of money for, you know, other players elsewhere in your team. But I'm looking at my Arsenal midfielders thinking, will not having Jesus there for the style of play that Arsenal have, will that have a major impact on whether we should select those midfielders as our FPL?
So it's a really good question. I think Martinelli could be moved centrally. I think Nketiah will play and will have a chance. I think there's also a possibility that Arteta moves Martinelli as a centre forward and then has someone like Vieira, for example, playing wide or just another option there. And not Nketiah starting every single game, for example. The thing is, you could also see Martinelli, Saka, Odegaard stepping up in Gabriel Jesus' absence. Yeah, I think you're right. Collectively, it's going to be a big miss. And there's a hole there to be filled. And you don't have a player exactly like Gabriel Jesus. So obviously, something is going to change in the way they play, the way they defend, the way they press, all of that. But you can also see, if you want, in a more positive way, in a sense like, okay, now Saka will have more responsibilities, which is good, more of the ball probably than when he had to share in a way with Gabriel Jesus. Same with Martinelli. And they can benefit from that. They're very, very good players. So that could also work their way. And The fixture list for Arsenal: West Ham at home, then Brighton away, Newcastle at home, Spurs away, United at home. So it's not an easy run, really, when you think about it. However, I do think that the likes of Saka, Martinelli could still be very good in your team, because I really believe they will step up.
I 100% agree with everything you just mentioned. One of the things that makes Arsenal so strong this year versus what they were last year is they have a very sound philosophy, right? This Arsenal team has had a lot of growing pains over the years. You know, last year they sort of had a downfall towards the end where they're chasing the top four. And then I think it was just the lack of experience and the young players that combined to them not making the top four. This summer, they brought in Jesus. They brought in, you know, guys like Saliba, Zinchenko, experienced players, and players that fit the Arteta puzzle. And this year, you're seeing the best team in the league at the moment in time with a sound philosophy. On top of that, they have a winning mentality and a team spirit. And so what that means is that Jesus is critical to this team and very, very important player. You know, he does all the dirty work. He comes, combines, almost like a midfielder that plays a striker role. So I do think Nketiah becomes a decent FPL option, but I do think that Saka and Martinelli are going to struggle a bit without Jesus because of what Jesus offers in terms of, you know, help with those other players surrounding him.
What about for Spurs, Sam? Because Richarlison's set to be out for a few weeks. He had a brilliant World Cup, didn't he? With the most heartbreaking of ends, of course. Is it just a waiting game on him? Because it would have been interesting, wouldn't it, to have seen what Antonio Conte would have done upon his return, given the form that he was in. And 100%. Also whether he maybe wanted to give Harry Kane a bit of a break.
Totally. I mean, I think Richarlison for me was the absolute star of the World Cup. You know, I forget the players that have done really well, but I think if you look at a player that came into the World Cup and really took it, kind of embraced the whole experience of being there, really gave it his all, he was brilliant. And he took the form that he'd had at Spurs into the World Cup and grew it. So I was looking at him thinking, maybe this is an opportunity, you know, to have him instead of Harry Kane, save budget in that second striker position that I can then use to have the likes of, you know, Salah, who didn't travel to the World Cup, KDB, who came out super early after the group stages with Belgium. But the injury obviously puts pay to that. And so I think it means two things. I think firstly, it makes the likes of Kulusevski and Kane absolute no-brainers in terms of start time, because there's no other options there. Kane's going to have to start again every game because we don't have that kind of backup anymore. Kulusevski's obviously been back, and so that will help him. But it's a real shame for Spurs, because I think Richarlison was giving us a different style of play and he was changing up games, and it could be a big miss for us not having him. Let's see how bad this hamstring injury is. We haven't had any confirmation from Spurs yet as to the extent of the injury. We just know that he pretty much flew back in from Brazil, went straight to Spurs for tests and assessment. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think it is a big miss. I think he would have been a really nice FPL option for us from game week 17 onwards had he been fit and available.
A word at this point, I feel, Ronaldo, on Son, because we saw him suffer that facial injury before the World Cup. He's been playing with that mask. It didn't look like it affected his performances out here.
No, actually, I think, Kelly, it did affect him a lot. It was about 22 days since he basically broke an orbital bone, and then he entered the World Cup because, you know, that's just how much the World Cup means to us, right? He had sort of a chest sort of injury during the final Brazil game, and he went down like hurting his eye. So it just goes to show that he was playing basically with one eye. I know he returned to training the other day and his mask was off, but I think with Son and his expensive price point, I would just be a little cautious on bringing him in right now when you have the likes of Kulusevski as an alternative, cheaper option ready to go.
Injuries can also occur to players when they're not at the World Cup. And we've seen it for Liverpool, haven't we, Sam, as well, with Luis Diaz set to be out for around 3 months now. He's having knee surgery. I know you were in the same boat as me in terms of having him at the beginning of the season and him being a brilliant asset at his price point. Diogo Jota as well, missing the World Cup. And now he looks like he's going to be sidelined a bit again. That's not good news for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool. And also for us in terms of, like I said, their price points. They were great players for us.
I've got to be honest, Kelly, these are the two that have hurt me the most, because I was really excited to bring Luis Diaz back in my team. You know, originally their injury looked set to be back around game week 17. And I was thinking, right, great. This is two really nice priced Liverpool assets that can come in, that can kind of challenge Mo Salah's position, because it's really hard, isn't it, with your FPL team to have this many premiums. And, you know, we're obviously going to have Haaland. I'm obviously going to have Kane. I imagine Jules will probably stick in that camp with me because, you know, we are Harry's biggest fans. But then you've got the likes of KDB in the middle. And I was thinking, how am I going to have all of these premium players? And Luis Diaz was the one I was looking at. And I was thinking he will be the perfect foil for not having Mo Salah. This new injury concern, you know, they're having to have surgery, being out now for a few months, with Jota looking like he's probably targeting the Champions League for his return, means we might see him maybe for Everton or Newcastle. That's in game week 23 and 24. And I wouldn't expect to see him for whole game then. I would expect to see him for some minutes ahead of the Champions League. That's a long time out. And what does that mean for Liverpool? Well, it means that we're back down to the bare bones of that attack again. Thankfully for them, Nunes came back from the World Cup relatively early with Uruguay without an injury. So they're going to have a front three of Salah, of potentially Firmino, because of course didn't go to the World Cup, of Nunes. And then you've obviously got players like Carvalho, but they're still at the bare bones again in that attack. So I think it's a good thing for us when it comes to selecting players like Nunes. But obviously it's a massive negative, because I think they would have been great FPL options for us in the new year.
Andy, let's pick up on what you mentioned earlier, though, in terms of positive news on the injury front. Reece James coming back. I kind of felt a collective sigh of kind of relief, happiness from the FPL community when Chelsea released those training pictures, him back out on the pitches, because we know what a great asset he can be in terms of attacking returns, particularly for our FPL teams.
Yeah, I think for me, Reece James is one of the best right backs in the world, probably the best English right back in this moment in time. And very unfortunate that he was out of the World Cup. If you just look back 1 year from now, when Chelsea was in full swing last season, they had Reece James and Chilwell firing at all cylinders. Chilwell got injured and they sort of had a decline in form. When Potter came into the season this year, Chilwell and Reece James were firing. They went on a 9-game unbeaten run. Chilwell got injured and they lost 3 in a row. So it just goes to show how important these wingbacks are to Chelsea's system as well as to England. So very excited for Reece to return. With that being said, we need to monitor how fit he actually is, because we don't want him to be starting, resting. We want a run of many games before, you know, they get rested. So I'm keen on having Reece James into my team come game week 17.
So you will bring him in. You're not going to wait and kind of see how he gets on and his fitness. You're going to go straight in.
I think so. I think it's just too hard to ignore, because at 5.8 million, he's super cheap relative to how much value he offers. So for me, he's just too good to not have. I know we've been hurt a lot by sort of Reece James one-pointers and two-pointers, but he has that potential. You know, essentially, he's a striker for Chelsea. So how can you not have a FPL defensive asset that plays sort of a striker role for Chelsea?
Yeah, 5.8 million for Reece James. Do bear in mind that the prices are frozen during this unlimited transfer window. So when you are bringing in players, remember, this could be the cheapest you are going to get them. Now, away from the World Cup, you may have missed that the Premier League announced double game weeks for the new year. So in game week 19, there's Chelsea and Fulham will play twice. Game week 20, Man City and Spurs, barring both teams not needing a replay in the FA Cup. And then in game week 23, it's Man City again and Arsenal. Now, off the bench, did discuss this in detail, but Sam, there's some interesting teams in there. How has that announcement affected your planning of your new look FPL team?
I think it has to, doesn't it? Because, you know, we're talking about these double game weeks starting 2 game weeks into the restart, if you like. So we've got game week 17 and 18, and then we're straight into double game week territory in 19, 20 and 23. So you have to kind of make some plans and think about those double game weeks in your planning. Now, I think game week 23 is far enough out. So when it comes to like Arsenal, if you don't really know how the Jesus injury is going to plan out and you're not really sure whether you want to double up in attack or double up in defence, then I think you can go with the two, knowing that you've got plenty of time with your free transfers to bring in another one. But with Chelsea and Fulham, I think you kind of have to set yourself up ahead of game week 17 for that double game week. Now, most of us are going to have players like Pereira because he's such great value. And if you don't have players like Pereira, then for goodness sake, get him before game week 19, because the value that he brings you in the midfield is crazy. Now, and you've then got players like Mitrovic, who you might want to think about having for game week 19, even if you then move him on to another striker post game week 19. And like Sanad has been saying, you know, having a Chelsea player in there, be that Kepa as a pair of rotating keepers, if he's proved to be fit and available for game week 17, or Reece James or another Chelsea defender, seems like a wise idea. So I think when you're planning for your game week 17 team and you're picking your unlimited transfer squad now, you really do need to keep in mind that you are going to want Chelsea and Fulham for game week 19 to maximise the double game week. The one thing I would say about Man City is that if they stay in all of these competitions, they could have 9 fixtures in January. That would mean playing midweek and weekend every week. And that could mean the Pep roulette is in absolute full flow. So let's just be aware of that when picking our Man City players and try to pick the ones that we think are most likely to get minutes in every game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see Andy having a wry smile there when Sam mentioned Man City. That was the first thing I thought of. Oh, great, Man City have got a double game week. Oh, great. Is Erling Haaland going to be rested for one of them? Was literally my first thought.
And they're tough. They're tough game weeks as well, right? Game week 20, Man City have got the Manchester derby against Manchester United, and then they've got Spurs. So it's not exactly the best double game week that you've ever seen in your life. And game week 23's one is Arsenal and Aston Villa. So again, new manager bounce team plus Arsenal, who are, you know, top of the league right now. So it they're not the best double game weeks. And you normally look at that and go, yes, Man City, let's triple captain. I'm not sure that I fancy those fixtures quite that much.
Okay, let's bring it back to the here and now then, because it is exciting to have those double game weeks. But before then, we've got to navigate our way through 17 and 18. Jules, who would you say at this stage are your top targets for your new look FPL team?
I've made some transfers before we flew over here. And I went heavy on Liverpool, because I do think that this... it could be interesting coming out of the World Cup break for Liverpool, Darwin Nunez and Andy Robertson, for example. We saw Trent not playing, not being used with England. I think this could bode well for Liverpool. Sam, rightly so, and you, Kelly, mentioned no Diogo Jota, no Luis Diaz. But there was a bit of momentum, remember, before the World Cup started. So I was very interested in Darwin, especially, and Robertson that I've already brought in.
What about you, Andy and Sam? Who have you been bringing in? Andy, are you going to stick with Son, given what you've said? I know he's normally a regular in your team. Is he staying?
No, unfortunately not. I've had it at periods throughout the season, but as you know, his form hasn't been up to par, especially for his price point. I'm very interested in having a United asset for the first 3 game weeks because they do have very good fixtures 17, 18, 19 before it gets rough. So Anthony Martial as well as Rashford come into the fold. I think having a Newcastle option is a no-brainer. As Sam mentioned, Kepa and Ward is a great goalkeeper combination to have because they're so cheap. And the big debate this coming unlimited transfer wildcard will be whether you go for Salah, whether you go for Nunes, or you go for both. I think the Liverpool options are very enticing. There's also Robertson on the table as well. So it's one of those, you know, unlimited transfer wildcard periods where we're going to have a variety of teams from different FPL managers.
I had a look back at the underlying stats for the first half of the season and looked at the minutes per expected goal for each team. And unsurprisingly, you see Man City at the top. So they are expected, or they have been up until game week 17, expected to score a goal every 47 minutes. Now, that for me is a team that I want to be investing from an attacking point of view. Behind them in that kind of stats table, it's Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle and Spurs, and then Brighton. So there are a number of teams there. They're kind of forming the basis for my plans for the attacking players in my team. And then I had a little look at the defensive numbers and looked at the expected goals conceded. And Man City, again, are top of that. So they're only expected to concede 9 over the course of the season so far. So, and then it's Arsenal, Brighton, West Ham, interestingly, up there quite high. And the fixtures for them are quite nice. So maybe someone like Aaron Creswell might just be a nice differential in your FPL teams. And then it's Newcastle and Spurs and Manchester United, as Sanaldo mentioned. First 3 fixtures look lovely for someone like Dalot to have in your team because, you know, super cheap and looks likely to get some clean sheets there. So when you're looking at the teams to invest in, and of course, Man City and Arsenal high up in both have double game week coming up. So I think looking at those underlying stats is really useful for kind of picking out the teams that you want to kind of use as your kind of bread and butter for your FPL team. And then you can use your remaining funds to fill in the other spots.
Do you think that teams that had really good starts or really good form before the break, the likes of Newcastle, I'm looking at the most transferred in, is my reason for asking this. Ivan Toney's the most transferred in, then Miguel Almiron, Darwin Nunez and Harry Kane. But Almiron's an interesting one. You bought him in, Jules. How do you think the break will have affected Newcastle and those kind of teams' rhythm?
I think in the case of Almiron or the guys who didn't travel to the World Cup, I think it would have been great. You've got 2 weeks off, literally, where you can go on holidays, do whatever you want. Then they went to not like close to here in Saudi Arabia to have the training camp, to play a couple of matches, to get into the rhythm. And then you come back home and you get ready. And I cannot see why Almiron would not pick up the form, like, you know, continue the form that we saw him having before the World Cup break. And I think as a team, Newcastle would be exactly the same. So they have to go to Leicester the first game, then they're home to Leeds. Then they go to Arsenal, but then it's Fulham and Crystal Palace, for example. So the fixtures are decent too. So if you were on the Newcastle bandwagon or Trippier, Almiron, Callum Wilson, even that Kelly you mentioned before, there's no reason for you to change your mind.
Almiron's continued to score goals while the World Cup has been on as well. Like, he's continued his form in these friendly matches. So I am 100%. He's one of the first locks in my team alongside Haaland. It was like, right, Haaland, tick, Almiron, tick. Like, who'd have thought in August that I would have locked Almiron into my team? I can't see him coming out because Newcastle got so much to fight for. They're in the Champions League spots now and they want to stay there and make sure that they go, you know, go through to that competition next season. So I think Newcastle are a team to heavily invest in.
It's very interesting this season. The price point for these players for the top teams are all very affordable. So when you go into sort of tinkering with your team as we approach the deadline, the usual suspects are from the best teams, right? Arsenal assets, City assets, Newcastle assets, as we mentioned. It's not about how many players you have from each team. It's just more about what do you think is the optimal combination of players you have. For example, there's this raging debate about whether you go KDB or whether you go Foden. So it's, I think, identifying these players from the top teams that'll matter. The silver lining, I know Sam mentioned the City fixtures are going to be tough in January. I know they have a bunch of fixtures to play, but the silver lining with tough fixtures is that also means your best players are likely to start both games. So I could see Haaland, for example, you know, starting all four of the double games if they happen. Two other points I want to add is that in game week 19, Fulham does have a double game week. So it's very important to sort of pre-plan who you're going to captain in game week 19, which means that Mitrovic should be sort of a lock in our teams, I believe. And finally, Chelsea also have a double in 19, but accommodating Chelsea assets will be difficult to fit into your team because we already have so many players we want to pick from.
Okay, well, it feels like we've spoken about quite a few of the same players, but also quite a lot of different teams. However, we couldn't we, Sam, end up with quite a lot of the same teams. We're all going to want to be targeting your Haalands and maybe the teams with double game weeks. So differentials, who have you got for us?
Kulusevski. I honestly think that Kulusevski. And yeah, maybe this is kind of boring, Sam, stop talking about Spurs. But genuinely, I do think having spent a lot of time, obviously during the World Cup, keeping abreast of what's been happening at Spurs, he's been in great form. He got back-to-back returns in 15 and 16, has continued that during Spurs' kind of friendlies that they've been playing. I think he'll be great and he's really lowly owned. He's coming into a team that's going to likely be without Richarlison, as we've mentioned, that have got a double game week to play in game week 20 potentially, and that thrive on having these two attacking players. Now, as Sinaldo said, we're not really sure what's happening with Son at the moment. I mean, we know he's fit, but how on form is he coming back into Spurs? Is he going to come back and be Son that we love? Is he going to come back and still not quite be his, you know, fully aggressive attacking self? I think it could be Kulusevski that leads the way there. So I think for me, he is one that is high on my radar because like you say, Kelly, these differentials are going to be key. Everyone's going to have a lot of the same players after this transfer window because the prices have been frozen, because there's an opportunity to kind of look at those double game weeks and heavily invest. I really like him, but I also really like Aaron Creswell. And the more that I look at West Ham, the more I think there's potential there. And yes, I know that game week 17 is difficult. They've got Arsenal in their first game back. That is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an easy game. It's probably one of the most difficult games they're going to play this season. However, Creswell does have attacking threat. He is on some set pieces. He's nice and cheap, and he's very lowly owned. So he's a defender that I'm looking at because, again, one, I'm happy to bench on the difficult game weeks and then play through the nice fixtures that West Ham have coming up. And, you know, they're going to have to improve if they want to make European football next season. So Creswell is a differential I'm looking at.
Andy, what about you? Have you got any to throw into the mix?
I like the Creswell shout, Sam, by the way, because as you mentioned, 18 through the next five game weeks is fantastic for West Ham. For me, I've got a couple. I'd like to shout out Andy Robertson. I still think Robbo is such a great player and a good differential coming up. Obviously, James and Mount will be differentials for Chelsea. For Arsenal, there's Odegaard that people might be sleeping on. He might be a good shout as well. So lots of good players here and there is just who you decide to go with in the end.
So I was going to say Robertson and Kulusevski. So the guys, oh, obviously, yeah, I know. No, because now you can see I've transferred them in. I brought in Somerville as well from Leeds because he finished it so well and I don't know how much he can last. I don't know if he's sustainable at his age and in a team that is a bit crazy like Leeds because they attack so much and there's not much structure to the game. However, if you can, and he's on the bench, their first game is City, so I'm not going to play him for that game. But after that, there's Newcastle after that. But after that, it gets a bit easier in terms of fixtures. So I think Somerville is a very, very lowly owned. And again, you could just have him on your bench and see when you can bring him on. And if he continues that kind of form, then you know Leeds are going to score and you know he's going to start now because Jesse Marsh loves him and he's been very good for them in the three games before the World Cup break. So yeah, it's the one that you can keep in mind.
I like that. That's a nice one. And another one that we probably are a bit sleepy on is maybe Saint-Maximin at Newcastle because he's been injured. He hasn't played a lot of minutes so far this season, but Newcastle, great form. If he's going to play up alongside Almiron and Callum Wilson, you see him getting in the goals as well. So he's maybe another one that is sort of sitting there in the back of my mind trying to work out whether I want to treble up on Newcastle, whether two's enough, because obviously I think I'm going to have Trippier and I'm going to have Almiron. So it's, do I want to spend that third Newcastle spot? And if I do, who's the better option?
Can I just point out that sitting next to Jules, I've realised where I thought he was like writing notes during, he actually just writes down players to bring into his own team.
It's just ideas. I'll let you know, like, so I don't forget them. Like, so I put Saint-Maximin and, you know, James. So
nice.
Things like that. Everybody does the same. I'm listening.
You're listening. Well done. Yeah. No, I was just intrigued. As soon as you said Saint-Maximin, Sam, he gave a nod to the head and then it was Saint-Max. And your handwriting's not great, but even I can understand Saint-Max.
He was phenomenal though, wasn't he, Jules? Over the last couple of seasons, he's been the one that if I was going to invest in Newcastle, it would have been him. Now, Newcastle have had such a step up in their form, in their quality, in their pedigree, that suddenly there's other players that you want as well. And because he's not been in the team so much, I think he gets easily forgotten. But he really is a player that we should keep on the radar because as differentials go, he's only owned by 3.5%. So again, he's going to have a massive positive impact on your rank if he starts playing and starts scoring goals.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a few options with Newcastle. How things change, the fact that we're all trying to find the best three, the fact that there is multiple options within Eddie Howe's squad. Well, that's all we've got time for today, but hopefully that's reminded you do need to reopen that FPL app at some point and enjoy those unlimited transfers ahead of game week 17. But Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been great to have your insight. It's going to be an interesting 9 or 10 days or so, I imagine, for you sorting out that team.
Yeah, I already hyped that FPL was coming back. Thank you for having me as a guest today and hopefully I'll be back next time.
And where can we follow you on Twitter and everywhere else if listeners want to take in a little bit more of your content?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @FPL_Sonaldo and also on the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel where we do a podcast every Wednesday called Burning Questions.
Yeah, and it's really good. I enjoy Burning Questions. So make sure you check that out with Andy and the guys. Sam, how does your next week or so look? Be honest, how much are you going to be focusing on building the kids up to Christmas and how much are you going to be sorting out your team?
I mean, both of those things can happen simultaneously, can't they? Let's go and see Father Christmas. What would you like for Christmas, Sam? Oh, some like 30 FPL points from my captain, please, Father Christmas. That's pretty much how my next week is going to go. No, and I think it's one of the things that I like most about the Christmas season is that there's, you you know, no work. So let's sit at home, let's eat some chocolate, and let's tinker around with our FPL team. So that is my plans for the next week or so.
Jules, well, we know what Jules' plans are for the next few days at least.
He's got no plans on Sunday.
I only have a World Cup to win, that's all. And then I can think about FPL.
Okay, well, by the next podcast, France could be World Cup champions. Imagine that, Sam. It's going to be an interesting podcast if that happens. That's for sure. Yeah, we will be back next week with another preview ahead of the return of FPL on Boxing Day. Enjoy the rest of those unlimited transfers, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.